Welcome to the Gray Area Podcast, where we talk about all things black and white, but especially the gray. How are you all doing this week? It's summertime here in Michigan, and I feel like we are experiencing such hot days, but then the temperature just randomly drops, and I'm not really liking that. I don't know if it's because I went to Arizona a couple years ago, and that was my hottest weather experience. But I recently was in Georgia, and it was 94 degrees, and I thought it felt amazing outside. Everyone was like, oh, it's so hot, it's stuffy, I want to go inside. But I was sitting there like, why? It feels great. And when I got back to Michigan, it was 74 and windy. I thought it was cold. I thought it was cold outside. So are you a winter or a summer person? My birthday is in the fall, but I think I'm becoming a summer spring person. I do not like the winter. Thankfully, Michigan has been having mild winters the last couple of years, but I think I'm starting to like spring and summer the most. I love fall because it's my birthday, and I always feel like the weather is perfect temperature. I always feel like we get to still get some of that heat, some of those heat benefits in the fall now within the last couple years. But when I was younger, it was cold. It definitely was cold. But now the fall is like perfect weather. It's perfect wedding season. I do hair, so I know that's around the time where a lot of people are still planning weddings. It's just a vibe to me. So I think I'm becoming more of a spring, summer person. I like the heat. As long as I have access to air, I think I like the summer and spring. Plus, it's a time to be outside. Like, you can be outside. You can start gardening. I called myself gardening. I tried gardening. When was that? I bought my house in 2020. So I started gardening in 21, like spring, summer of 21. I think that was Memorial weekend. And it was so intense. I wanted to redo everything. I wanted to pull up the mulch. And if you follow me on Instagram at Maya Kalen, you know that I can pretty much do it all. If I can figure it out, I can do it. But I'm pretty handy with my hands. So I was like, okay, let's try this green thumb out. Let's see how I am. I did not pick the right flowers. I think for the front, I chose some begonias. And then in the back, I chose some salvias, which if you're a plant person, you even know what those are. But I didn't even know what those were. I just saw them and I read the little tag and it said like partial sunlight, partial shade. So I was like, oh, perfect. My house sits up high. So in the front, in the morning time, the sun is mainly in the front. And then once it gets later in the day, the sun goes towards the back. So I was thinking, okay, partial shade, partial sunlight. Absolutely not. Those are high maintenance flowers and they're not perennials. I learned my lesson. I need to get perennials. So now I like spring, summer because it's a time to get out and do more. Plus, you can do way more activities without having to pay. You could do cost-effective gatherings. You can do cost-effective friend hangouts, family gatherings, whatever it may be. It's so much more easier to do it in the spring or summer because you don't actually need a location versus going into the winter time. It always seems like you have to have a location. Of course, you can do things outside. And I know restaurants have implemented igloos since COVID. It's cold. It's so cold. I don't want to do any of that. Give me spring, summer, or fall. That's it. That's all. I don't mind Michigan only because we don't get half of the natural disasters that other states get. But then again, I don't like the winter, but we haven't been getting the winter we usually get. So it's like, it's really not that bad. We barely get tornadoes. We barely get any type of other, you know, weather advisory type of storm outside of like a rain, hail, winter storm, snowstorm, black ice. Like, to me, I take black ice over a tsunami, a hurricane, a mudslide, an earthquake. I really would. I would take that over any of those. But yeah, I think I'm starting to become a spring summer person. How about you? Let me know down in the comments. And again, we are live on Apple Podcasts now. I'm super, super, super excited. And the subscribers keep going up. I'm surprised. Y'all really are rocking with me. I shouldn't keep saying I'm surprised. I'm surprised that I'm seeing so many improvements in this short time span. This is only episode, what, 7? And I've seen so many different levels of growth or different things in such a short time span where I can see where I want to improve, how I want to grow more, how I want to keep learning different things as I keep dropping episodes, from listening to you guys' feedback and also taking into consideration what my goal is with this podcast and how I'm going to stay on track with it and remain consistent and why I actually chose the name of this podcast and all of those things. So I'm super excited to be on another episode of the Gray Area Podcast. It has been a journey coming, but we are finally here. So let's check in. How are you doing? What do you need to take away for today? Do you need joy? Do you need clarity? Do you feel like you're drowning in sin? Do you feel like you're just drowning in overwhelmed life situations? Do you feel like you're in a transitional period? What do you need to take away from today? Whatever that is, I want you to decree and declare that you can get it, that you're taking it back, that God wants for you to have it back. I want you to snatch it back. I want you to go after everything that the enemy stole from you. I want you to go into his camp. Go into his camp and snatch up everything that you feel like he stole from you. But I also want you to trust and believe that God is going to restore it. So you may not even need to go back and get back what you previously had. You may get something totally new, something totally different, something totally fresh that, you know, you can't even compare to that old thing. But today I would say I'm taking back my mind. I'm taking back my own thoughts. We have choices. God gives us choices over the things that we decide to think, the things that we decide to let enter into our eye gates, our ear gates, all of those things. And I want to take back control. I don't feel like I've lost control, but I feel like I've gotten lazy to staying in control of my thoughts, staying in control over those things that I know would deter me away from the walk that I'm on, the Christ walk that I'm on, would deter me away from everything that God is calling me to higher places, to new people, all of the things. I'm trying to take back control of my thought. I'm going to be honest with myself about where I am. I'm taking back the vulnerability that, you know, could be weaponized, but other people need to see it. Other people need to hear it. I'm taking back the guilt and shame throughout the years of different things that I may have done. I'm no longer carrying those burdens. I want to give that over to God. Like Matthew 11 and 28 through 30 says, trading your yoke for his because it's lighter. And make sure you go and look at that scripture because that's just an abbreviation of that scripture. But trading your yoke for his because it's lighter. So that's what I'm taking back. I'm taking everything I need and some because God says I can have it. God, if God says I can have it, then it's mine. I'm already decreeing and declaring that it's mine. And you can't have it back, devil. You can't have it back. You can't have it then. You can't have it later. You can't have it now. I want it all back. So take what you need from your day. It's Monday. It's a new week. It's a new opportunity for new mercies, new grace, new favor. It's a new opportunity to just experience God's presence in a totally different light, to experience new relationships, new bonds, new commitments, new things that are good for you in this season of your life. So I'm super, super, super excited about it being Monday because not only is the Gray Area dropping a new episode, but we are also just decreeing and declaring that our week is a God and a good week. Yes, yes, yes. We love that. So today I want to talk about unhealthy patterns. I wanted to talk about unhealthy patterns. So lately, I've just been really reflecting on a lot of the things that have come up from my childhood through therapy, just reflecting on my life today, moving back home and feeling like, you know, in the previous episode, like I said, feeling triggered being back home, living with my parents, just those unhealthy patterns that can seem normal in the beginning, but you don't realize how unhealthy they are once you start seeing the actual healthy way of things. When you start seeing things that line up with the word of God, that's when you can pretty much tell that that's unhealthy. Most times we're talking about relationships with people. We're talking about those toxic things as far as like the cliche things, like I said, relationships. But I want to talk about poor judgment. Unhealthy patterns when it comes to poor judgment, when it comes to unhealthy eating, and when it comes to perfectionism. I think so many times those are areas that get skipped over. They get looked over. We often don't want to think that those daily things that we practice can be unhealthy. We only want to think of the things that maybe someone else is doing or that are more extreme that are unhealthy. But these habits can lead to very unhealthy patterns, and they can ultimately mess with your relationship with God. They can affect your relationship with people. They can affect your relationship with your job. They can affect so many different things. So I want to take time to talk about that today. So when it comes to poor judgment, I think about how if you're not in your word, if you're not feeding your spirit, if you're not implementing those healthy spiritual practices, if you're not, you know, implementing those healthy mental and emotional practices, it's very, very easy for you to get attacked in those ways. It's very easy for you to experience moments of poor judgment. And that's not to say that they're, you know, sometimes they can be life-altering decisions, but it's not to say that they're always life-altering decisions, but they can be as simple as maybe, you know, the poor judgment led to the unhealthy eating. You know, maybe you knew you were full and you stuffed yourself and you ate something more. I know I've done that. I've talked about that in the other episode, how I feel like growing up, one of the unhealthy patterns that I had as a child was being told I can't have anything to drink until I'm done eating. Now, it's all fun and games, but I really feel like that is a honest, you know, unhealthy pattern that was given to me as a child, which I do think my parents thought, oh, this would be a way to help the kids eat and, you know, not continuously get up from the table, just trying to implement something healthier. Maybe they saw someone else practicing that and they wanted to try it to see if it'll work for us. But I do think ultimately it led to an unhealthy pattern. So for me, the poor judgment may be instead of noticing that I'm full and allowing my body to say, hey, Maya, we're full. I see that there's only a little bit of food left. So I'm like, why not just finish it? You don't want to waste it. And of course, growing up, we weren't the most rich family. You know, we struggled. We were poor. We were homeless at times. And the fact that, you know, I've recognized and been able to pinpoint different things. Yes, that's from my childhood of, you know, oh, you can't have anything to drink until you get done eating your food. But it's also from the perspective of because we didn't have when we had, I did not want to be ungrateful or I did not want to be wasteful because I did not know when the next time we were going to eat at times. And I see how unhealthy those patterns have become because maybe somebody else can go out and they'll drink and they'll smoke, but maybe I'm going to go out and get food. Maybe it's going to be like comfort food and different things like that. I do think that there's, you know, levels and moderation to it all. I believe that if you want to treat yourself to something, you want to get something sweet, okay. But I think the part that where it becomes unhealthy is when you overdo it and you're doing it daily, you're doing it to an extent where it's unhealthy for your body, it's unhealthy for your mental, things of that nature. But I want to say that poor judgment is very important because you want to make sure that you're making the right choices that'll lead to the next thing. And then perfectionism. For me, I never paid attention to what perfectionism for me personally was. I believe that perfectionism is a real thing, but when I looked back at how I'm a perfectionist, it's sometimes unhealthy. So when I went through it in therapy and I really reflected on it in my alone time, I was thinking about how through my perfectionism, it was also a coping mechanism to make sure that I don't depend on people too much, to try and get it right the first time so I don't have to redo it, to try and get it right, you know, so I don't have to depend on anyone, to try and get it right because I don't know if someone's going to help me. I'm trying to overextend myself, and it's ultimately causing burnout, which can easily lead to depression and anxiety overload, all of the things. And I'm not someone who thought that I struggled with things like this, but I always thought my perfectionism was like my superpower because I always knew that I wanted to get it right. I knew that if anyone could depend on me for anything, it was how I tried my best. I did my best. And at times I didn't like it because maybe, you know, when I was in school and I was trying to be lazy and do like the other kids or something, the teacher would say, "Hey, Maya, you need to rewrite this. You don't write like that. I've seen you write better than this." And I've been like, "But you let John just scribble, you know, why do I have to redo it?" So different things like that where I can see the benefits of being a perfectionist, but I can also see how it can hinder me in some spaces. I can think back on times when, you know, things were due or assignments were due, but I was so busy trying to erase and perfect it that I missed a deadline for something. And how many people have missed out on things because you're so busy trying to perfect it instead of learning as you go, improving as you go? You want to get it right the first time. You want to get it right the first time because you're worried that maybe there won't be another time. Maybe if you don't get this right, they won't want you a second time. I can understand how in some spaces that can cause anxiety and that can really be a real thing to think about. But in spaces where there are everyday things and everyday challenges, why would we dare add more weight to our load? Why would we dare add more weight to our load when most times people aren't even asking that of us? It's that we're overextending ourselves to offer this perfectionism that we should not be giving people. And it's not that we shouldn't be giving it to them because they don't deserve it. It's we should not be overextending ourselves to where it's running us dry. Sometimes that perfectionism can look like showing up all the time for people. You don't want to, you know, you want to be labeled as a friend that's always there. So you're always there. But not realizing, even if you miss once or twice, I don't think that your friends would say, "Oh, she's never there." It's probably going to be like, "Oh, she just wasn't able to make it this time." Sometimes we think the perfectionism is keeping a solid score, keeping a clean record, keeping all those things. And a lot of times that can happen with our relationship with Christ. We can think that because we've been keeping such a straight record that we look down on other people. We don't understand how this person could sin because I could never. When just 4 months ago, you was probably doing the same thing. Just yesterday, you were probably doing the same thing, but all sin is equal. So even your judgment is just as bad as whatever thing you're judging them for. But I think perfectionism can go into so many different areas and avenues. And when I think back on even my childhood, even, you know, showing up in spaces of friendship, showing up for my friends has even been hard because of the unhealthy practices that I've adapted to, that I thought were normal, that I thought were healthy, that I thought were okay because maybe someone who I valued and honored in my life told me that this was the way to go, not realizing that they're also human too. So maybe they were telling me in a light for that situation, but maybe I gravitated to what they said so hard that I attached it to everything in my life instead of just that one situation. And I feel like I'm hitting the nail on the head with a lot of these. I know everyone may think that perfectionism is only when you're trying to get something right, but it can show up in so many unhealthy ways. Like I said, showing up for friends, like for me, I did not want to be a friend that only came to my friends when I was in need. I didn't want to seem like I was always the friend that needed help. So instead, when I needed help, I wouldn't go to my friends at all. I would wait till I figured it out. Then I would catch them up on it. But what I was realizing is my perfectionism was keeping me from experiencing who God had placed in my life. He placed certain people in your life so that you can experience those healthy moments. You can experience what it's like to have healthy situations and relationships and eating habits and perfectionism. You can experience the healthy parts of it. Just like there's actually good anxiety. My therapist was telling me this in one of my sessions not too long ago. She was like, Maya, not all anxiety is bad. There's some good anxiety where you're anticipating something, where you're looking forward to it. It's the same thing with perfectionism and unhealthy patterns. There's a healthy side to it. There's healthy patterns where you get in the habit of being vulnerable and opening up to people because you realize that these people aren't looking for your perfectionism. These people are looking for you. So it's the same way with God. God is not looking for your skill set. He's looking for you. He will give you everything that you need, but he's just looking for the vessel. He's looking for where's the healthy ground? Where's the solid ground that I can plant this seed and help it to grow? I don't want Maya the gardener. I want Maya who doesn't know, you know, even if she does know something, she's coming to me humbly to say, here I am. And it's the same thing with friendships. Like, you don't want to listen to your friend all the time and say, yeah, I know. You want to at least be like, okay, yeah, that's good. You don't always want them to feel like you know everything because maybe they won't come to you anymore. It's the same thing with God. God doesn't want perfect people. He makes imperfect people perfect for the call, perfect for the design that, you know, he has laid out for us in the will of our life. So I want to reflect on some scriptures that I found that I felt like were fitting to the topic that I wanted to talk about today. And the first scripture is Romans 12:3. The NIV version says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. That is a good one. Pretty much, you know, that goes with, you know, sometimes even with perfectionism, because we think we've kept this straight record that we can think so highly that we're kind of bumping God out the way, that we're making our perfectionism our God. We're making our unhealthy habits our God. We're idolizing perfectionism. We're idolizing unhealthy habits. That's so good to me. And then 2 Corinthians 10:12 NIV says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with someone who commend themselves when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. So God does not want you only in your own bubble. He wants you to gas yourself up, yes, but he also wants you to be wise about it. He wants you to make sure that you're seeking wise counsel. Even in this, you should have friends that's like, girl, chill out. Like, don't forget, you know, stay humble. Give you some humble pie. You should always have friends that hype you up, but your friends should also tell you, like, girl, you're not perfect either. You're not perfect with love. You're not perfect, boo. And then James 1:4 NIV says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then moving on to verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So with that, it's like, even thinking about that, like, God wants our faith to be tested. So we can't always be perfect. We can't always have a straight line. If we always had everything straight, we wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need God. And he does not want us to not need him. And then James 1:13-14 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and entice. So it's God doesn't even want you to say, "Oh, he's tempting me." Like God is trying to test me. God is not going to tempt you with evil. That is the enemy. That is the enemy telling you that you can do this. You can do this. You don't need any help. Don't contact your friends. Don't tell them about that. Like, you can figure it out. You got this all in control. You know, you can figure it out. You can do all these things. But then you end up on overload. Then it's, oh, nobody ever want to help me and blah, blah. If I know for me at times I felt like, man, nobody ever wants to help me. But then I had to look back at the history of things. The history of things showed that Maya always has it. Maya's already got it figured out. So why would people come in when Maya already has it figured out? If Maya's never asked for help, not one time, why would somebody come and check on me? Maya seems to always have it figured out. Even if they do come and check on me, if I'm saying, you know, I'm good. I'm good. No, I don't need anything. I know a lot of us have done that. Where, you know, maybe a friend wants to check in on you, but because of that mindset, it's eating away at you to just be like, no, I'm good. I don't need anything. That's not of God. That's a lie. That's a lie. You're literally sinning by saying you don't need anything when really you need maybe, you know, a friend to lean on. Maybe you need, you know, we're supposed to lean on our brothers and sisters. We're supposed to glean from wise counsel. We're supposed to seek companionship that God wants us to have through friendships, through so many different ways and so many different lights. So in James 1:12, NIV is my last scripture, says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So if anything, like the song Tried by Fire, He wants us to be tried by fire, because he's really trying to see if we really about that life. Are we really about our Father's business? And if we're really going to be about our Father's business, then we have to stand on business. We got to stand on business and recognize that these unhealthy patterns are only going to get us so far. They're only going to feed us so far before we have to say, okay, God, I need you. God, I need you more than ever. God, I depend on you. I need you. I desire you. I want you. All of those things. So when you think back on those moments where, you know, it's unhealthy, whether it be a toxic relationship, whether it be a bad friendship that you feel like God is leading you to get away from. And sometimes I also want to mention that sometimes just because something is hard, it does not mean that God does not want you to deal with it. So there may be a difficult friendship. There may be a difficult relationship. And maybe that difficulty isn't for someone else to handle. But God placed you in that person's life. God placed that thing in your person's life for you to handle, for your faith to be tested. And in order for your faith to be tested, he had to give you something that he knew would challenge you. If we only had things that were easy, that made sense to us, we really wouldn't be tried. We really wouldn't have the bandwidth to understand who God really is for us and can be in our lives. So I want us to take that away too, thinking about those things that are pure and just, right and holy. God wants us to think all those ways when it comes to our unhealthy habits. He wants us to think of all those things when it comes to our unhealthy choices, because not all habits are things that we just can't stop. They're things that we know we can stop, but we just choose to keep doing it too. I'm talking to myself. I'm not just talking about you or to you or for you, but I really feel that, you know, God gave me these topics for a reason. I have a long list of topics that I want to talk about in this podcast for season 1. So when it comes to these things, it also helps me to reflect and think back on different parts of my life, even today, before, you know, for the future, whatever it is. I know there's things that I have to get in order, that I have to get intact, because God has already placed, you know, that thing on my mind, on my heart to consider, to think about. And I hope and I pray that someone sees the other side of the unhealthy patterns that someone gets to see, hey, maybe that is something I need to work on. Maybe that is something that God is trying to show me. Maybe that's why I felt like this. Maybe that's why I keep thinking like this, because it's an unhealthy pattern. God wants me to reveal these things to him. He wants me to, you know, run to him for it. He wants me to seek him for it. It can be any of those things. It could be video games. It could be waking up late. It could be snacking late at night. It could be rushing. It could be, you know, anything. Running late. Running late could be I know for me, that is an unhealthy pattern. I talked about that in the last episode, or in one of the episodes. But running late, whatever it may be, causing, you know, it's a domino effect. Maybe it's running late and then you get mad at everybody in traffic that's not moving as fast as you need them to move. But really, the problem is you should have left home early. So now you're rushing behind little Susie's grandmother, but not even paying attention that although you're late, God could be protecting you and shielding you from something if you keep hopping behind slow driving cars, or you keep running into intersections that are just blocked off for construction. Maybe God wants you to miss out on a potential accident. Maybe you're going to cause it. Maybe, you know, someone was going to hit you. Whatever the case may be, these unhealthy patterns God will bring to fruition. He will bring, you know, to your attention so you can work on it. And we just have to be willing to work on it. It's not something that can happen overnight. Maybe it's going to take a couple of years. Maybe it's going to take, you know, practice. They say it takes, 30 days to have a new healthy habit. So I would think it takes 30 days to unlearn something, to at least start implementing a healthier option for that thing. So I pray that you enjoy this episode. I pray that this, you know, gives you insight into some things that you could potentially, you know, meditate on God's word for, and, you know, seek God about what those things are for you. Everyone's unhealthy habit is different. And maybe your unhealthy habit is healthy for someone else and vice versa. But whatever it is, I pray that you seek God for it. I pray that you go to him for it. I pray that, you know, you're not too ashamed or too big in the head, or you're letting your ego or your pride get in the way of you being honest with where you are and how God can come in and just work miracles. He could come in and turn your whole life around just because you decided to change an unhealthy habit. So thank you for tuning in to the Gray Area Podcast. And I hope to see you next week on another episode of The Gray Area. I pray that you have a great week. I pray that you just continue to go out there and be bold and try to figure out these gray areas. Remember, the Lord is faithful, the Lord is kind, and I will see you next time.